projectors just move.
If it clicks up, it'll explode.
Potentially, yeah.
Good. I want to say, by means of beginning, that I feel entirely unresponsible. Is that a word? I was going to say irresponsible, but that's not the right word. Unresponsible for what has happened in the Northwest in terms of youth and children's ministry. I feel like it's kind of happened despite me, kind of rather than because of me. It's kind of happened around me. But it's been thrilling to see things grow and blossom and kind of come together in ways that we didn't anticipate at the beginning. Why do we do youth and children's ministry first off, and how does partnership help us with that? I think one of the key ways, which I'm going to emphasise, is that of training and theological reflection. There's a fascinating study by a man called Thomas Berdler called The Juvenilization of American Christianity. If you're from Liverpool, which is up by us, that's a very hard name to say. Thomas Berdler, it's great. In the juvenilization of American Christianity, he studies various youth ministries and their impact on the church. And what he discovers is that actually American evangelicalism is the worst for producing a juvenile church. That is, his main point is, whatever your youth group looks like now will be what your church looks like in 10 years' time. The positive of that is that if your youth group is in great health and faithful and slogging away and working hard to produce Christian adults, then so will your church. However, if your youth ministry is built around fun and games and froth, that is what your church will look like in 10 years' time. And therefore, the training and theological reflection of youth and children's ministry is vital. So, about 14 years ago, the Northwest Partnership began on the back of a visit by Peter Jensen to our area, encouraging us to partner together. And not long after that, we realised that there needed to be some aspect of partnership amongst children and youth. And there were a few things that very quickly got going. We realised that we needed to train our volunteer leaders. That actually it's the leaders on the ground who need to be trained, knowing what they're doing, and doing it as best they can. So we set up a Saturday training day for volunteer leaders, which I think was the best thing to begin with first. We then set up a day's teaching for 14 to 18-year-olds, and a little kind of group of youth workers got together. There were only about 8 of us at the time. And within that group, I kind of sat there and grumbled about what was going on at the time and saying, I'm looking for an 8 to 11s venture to send my kids off to. I can't really find anything within striking distance, and nothing I feel I can trust. And 2 other people around the table said, well, funny, I'm thinking the same thing. And so we got together and started a little age to 11 venture. And for me, that's a little kind of microcosm of partnership in the gospel. That actually I couldn't have done that on my own, and they couldn't have done it on their own, but we could do it together and do it fairly well. And so those things kind of bumbled along for a while, and things were growing and things were good. About 5 years ago, I kind of took over and in terms of chairing the whole thing. And we all sat down in a room. And I kind of said, well, what are we about? What are we doing? What is Northwest Youth Works, Northwest Partnership, Youth and Children's Stuff about? And there was kind of silence in the room, which kind of told me quite a lot that actually we kind of just been doing stuff that we kind of felt like we needed, which is good and right. It was a good place to start. But somewhere we just needed to sharpen it a little bit and think, okay, what's going to stop us doing things that we shouldn't be doing and help us to do things that we should be doing? And so we kind of batted around some things and... Ooh, it's here, isn't it? And I kind of came up with this. It's not perfect. I'm not kind of pretending it is. But this is where we got to. This is our strap line for Northwest Youth Works. Encouraging one another in Bible-centered family, youth, and children's ministry. We felt this was broad enough to give us a good kind of scope of possibilities, but narrow enough to say there are certain things that we should be doing, should be left alone. So firstly, encouraging. And this is a key kind of general term. In terms of encouraging one another, that is building one another up, helping each other. There's nothing too specific about that. That can be quite informal, that can be quite formal. But we felt that that was a good place to start. Encouraging one another. The one another bit is critical because it's not top down. So for us, partnership meant this rather than this. Because as soon as it became this, it became a kind of parachurch organisation where there were expectations and what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. Whereas if we're encouraging one another, then it's sideways. And I'll come back to that and come in on that a little bit again later. Encouraging one another in Bible-centred family, youth and children's ministry. I still question this term Bible-centred, how helpful it is. I think it can come across as a little bit arrogant. But it's useful in the sense that it summarises what we're trying to do. And the more I thought about it and thought, this could be perceived as arrogant. You know, are we just saying other people don't do Bible-centred ministry? But actually, as I've looked around at a lot of other things, the Bible isn't at the centre of their ministry. And therefore, that's what we're trying to push towards and garner towards. And then family, youth and children's ministry is the remit that we've been given. So, this then... We started thinking, okay, what are the areas where we need to be doing this? How does this work its way out? Firstly, amongst employed workers. We kind of felt that was the place, that was the first area to begin with. As we sat in a room with a few of us, we were the employed workers. We were the ones who would have to kind of drive this and take it forward. And therefore, kind of maintenance and helping and encouraging there was massively important. And we felt, that's the wrong one, I'll come back to that. There we go. We felt one of the key places to do that was in this kind of situation, to have lunches where we would gather and we would encourage one another, we'd have talks to train and help each other as we go on. And in a sense, it's more than, for us, the lunches were... and I'm sure you feel this too, the luncheons were more than just the top-down teaching. Actually, it was a time for informal partnership to be going on. So a time for friendships to be forged. In many ways, this was the engine room of what we wanted to do. That if we wanted partnership in youth and children's ministry to succeed, we had to get these times together right in order to forge those friendships. In order to drive one another and support and encourage one another, okay. So one of the changes I made was to make it more informal, to encourage more personal interaction. We started sharing prayer requests and praying together and things like that, rather than simply just kind of inviting the speaker and eating together. So that was one of the things we tried to do. Now I think what we've seen from that is that there have been times where youth and children's ministers who have been struggling have been encouraged by personal friendships that have been forged through these times. And that's been hugely helpful to see. The second thing we wanted to do was to encourage each other to take our own ministry role seriously. What often happens with youth and children's ministry is that we reach, particularly with men, we reach a certain age, and we think, do you know what? I'll go off and pastor a church now, which is right for some people, and good for some people. But we wanted to help people to see that there was a possibility of this as a vocation until you retire. Okay. So I still get the comments. Do you think you're a bit too old for children's ministry now, Robin? And I kind of say, would you say that to a head teacher of a primary school? And therefore, changing the expectation within the church and within our partnership of what a youth and children's minister is and how we do that. And so when I started, there were a number of youth and children's workers who were pushing for long-term youth and children's ministry, which was great. I don't think any of them are in youth and children's ministry anymore, which was frustrating. And so we started to think, how are we going to do this? How are we going to raise the level of youth and children's ministry in our churches? And one of the ways we chose to do that was simply by training. By training each other, but also by more formal training and enabling qualifications and things like that. So a couple of us have gone on to be doing PhDs in youth and children's and family ministry, as if to say to the church, actually, this is something we need to be thinking about, reflecting on, taking that seriously. Along with that, we developed a course, a module at Union in youth, children's and families ministry to be part of their GDIP, in order to say, actually, if you're going to be youth and children's minister, let's take theological education seriously. Because if we do that, then we see it as a place for the long term. And so what I'd say, if you're a church leader with a youth and children's minister, worker, even a trainee that you're training up, please invest in their training. Please recognize what they're doing is not just hugely valuable, hopefully that's why you're here, but necessitates that they know what they're doing. So, I mean, for example, if you're a youth and children's minister in a medium-sized church, you are essentially a pastor of a small church yourself. You know, if you've got a youth group of 15, you're a pastor of a small church. And you're leading leaders to and training them to look after the children's ministry. So we have to kind of, what we're trying to do is raise that bar to say, look, this is something you can do for the long term. And actually, if you're going to do that, let's do it well. Let's do it right. Let's think about what we're doing, so that we don't end up in the state that Thomas Bowden talks about, where we've got, you know, a church in 10 years' time that looks like, you know, a youth group and expects kind of 20 minutes of games at the beginning of the church time together or whatever it might be. So we wanted to encourage that partnership amongst employed workers, which would facilitate long-term gains. So bearing in mind this has been kind of 15 years and it's been slow, I think we have begun to see some fruit. I think the fruit actually that we see now is that we've got an awful lot of 40-year-old youth and children's workers like myself, and there's no room for the younger ones to come up through. But I guess that's a sign of success, if you like. So that is one area that we wanted to encourage and establish and deepen and strengthen. And that took time. Secondly, amongst volunteers, we wanted to encourage partnership encourage one another amongst our volunteers. So we started our annual conference where we gather as many youth and children's ministers, volunteer ministers, over the Northwest over a Saturday. And we do various issues of youth and children's, how to teach, etc. Do you do anything like that down here? No? So it was when we started out, there wasn't much else going on. So I think Good Book Company did big issue days for a while. And I don't know if they came down to the Southwest at all, but yeah. So that wasn't happening when we started. But so we spent quite a bit of investment doing that, and seeing our volunteer leaders trained. The thinking behind that was, there were a number of churches, obviously, which you don't have employed youth and children's ministers. And therefore, they would have volunteer leaders who were maybe being trained by the pastor, who may be doing a good job of that, but often would be struggling and might not know the kind of specific individual issues which would hit, you know, a junior church leader on a Sunday with, you know, three kids with additional needs in their class, and how do I manage this group? And therefore, we felt that was helpful, and I think has been helpful over the years. But we also recognised that wasn't going to be enough, that there would be people who wouldn't come to these, that one Saturday of a year is not a huge amount of input to give people who are serving Sunday by Sunday. So we set about writing a little training manual called Sunday DIY, which would be able to be bought and rolled out within the church. The idea being that it would be a base level of training for our volunteer leaders, which would which they could have even before they set foot in the junior church room or the you know, whatever you call it, your youth group or whatever. That they would have that base level of training before even they began. So the idea was that this could be run between small groups in a church and so on. It has the accolade of being the lowest selling item on the Ten of Those catalogue. I'm particularly proud of that. And yeah, so do check it out, but order multiple copies and, you know, make me a little bit more popular with Johnny Carswell. That would be excellent. So we were proud of that, but, you know, whether that's still kind of, whether that's worked or not, I will let you decide. I suspect what happened was a lot of churches bought one copy and photocopied it. But there we go. So we were trying to train employed workers. We were trying to train volunteers. And part of that encouragement was sharing resources between churches. That might mean bigger churches serving smaller churches. That might mean richer churches serving poorer churches. Often it wouldn't, actually. It would often be some of the smaller, poorer churches who had an employed worker who were happy to kind of, you know, send them out to train another church. But that partnership and encouragement was intended to serve all the churches in the partnership, not just those with youth and children's ministers. Okay, so that was stated from up front, particularly. You know, there are various people up here who you could ask to come and do training in your church, who you could kind of call on for advice or support or help. And so we saw quite a bit of that happening, and that was quite an encouragement to us. And thirdly, we wanted to encourage partnership amongst the children and young people themselves. And I think, for me, this is probably the most exciting area and the most exciting development we've done. So I mentioned at the beginning that we set up an 8 to 11s camp, which was great. It then split into two camps, a northern one and a southern one, and we were kind of reaching about over 100 kids. We could have done more, except limits on leaders. It's always the way, isn't it? So those were going well. And Ruth, you came to a few, I think, didn't you? It was fun back in the day. And from there, we had a few Northwest 11 to 14s camps that we could send them on. Then the Caucasian and things, and then but from that point on, and please don't take this the wrong way, we were then sending our kids down to the Southwest. Why would we want it? It's lovely being in the Southwest, by the way. It's a new experience for me. It's very pretty. But why were we building friendships between these young people from 8 to 14 and then kind of sending them off somewhere else? And we sent them on brilliant camps, don't get me wrong, and they had a great time kind of meeting kids from all around the country, and that was a good experience for them. But we just felt what was a real, could be a real benefit to them would be to strengthen those friendships that they made with kids who are maybe 10 minutes up the road from them. So young people who, you might have one 14-year-old boy in your youth group, and he hasn't really made a connection with any other boys in the group, but he keeps coming, and he loves Jesus, and but he's got a mate in another church 10 minutes up the road, and actually they can meet up and just know that there's another guy his age around and build that friendship. And so we started a Northwest Partnership camp for 14 to 18s, which we called Divine. The reason for it being a Northwest Partnership camp was that some of our Free Church brothers didn't want to send their children on their young people on the CPAS venture, which was fine. That's great. So we deliberately did it independent of that, ourselves, and took that risk such that they would be happy to send. They didn't send, but that's fine. That's okay. And then part of the thinking was, look, okay, we've seen some of these kids come all the way through from 8 to 18, and actually some of them are really flying. Some of them are really keen. Some of them, age 17, 18, well, they could come to our younger venture, our younger camp, and serve there. Maybe in the kitchen, maybe, you know, as a kind of third leader in a dorm or whatever it might be, and begin to kind of train them back through. And our Saturday day of teaching, I don't think I mentioned that, did I? We do a Saturday day of teaching for 14 to 18, similar to what happens here. What do you call it here? Solid. We call it sound. They're all kind of, we basically just nicked the stuff they do in London, haven't we? But that's good. Why not? If it's a good idea, nick it.
We need it.
You need it as well? From London?
Yeah,
absolutely. And the joy of that, so we linked that up with our 14 to 18s venture, and the joy of that was, I used to go for a number of years with my youth group on the Saturday, and we go in, and they kind of sit with me slightly awkwardly. Always awkward sitting with me, but they'd sit with me slightly awkwardly, and kind of, there are other teenagers around, but I'm not going to go and say hello. And it was like, okay, fine, that's great, we can chat about stuff, that's useful. The year after we started doing the Vibe, I took the youth group in, and they just went, boom, and found their friends, and got stuck in there. So there were obvious beneficial effects of that, and seeing that strategy work through, just following it through. Actually, here we can genuinely help our young people to partner together, to encourage one another, where they may be totally alone in their school or in their youth group. Actually, the benefits of a wider network. There are negative effects, obviously, of that, which, you know, we can chat about, more than happy to. So that is what we've done together. That they have been our three kind of aims amongst employed workers, amongst volunteers, and amongst children and young people. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's rocket science, but it's kind of worked for us, and it's developed slowly. I think one of the things we just wanted to do was just to set some goals, just to aim for something. And if we aim for something, we might hit it. So these are some of the things we aim for. And how we do at the time. When's coffee break? Is that it?
When you want it.
When I want it. How long have we been going for? Half an hour? Okay, almost half an hour. So we'll break for coffee in a minute, and afterwards I'll talk about some of the things that I think we failed at, and I think some of the challenges and some of the things we've not done so well. And I'll take full responsibility for that. I can't take full responsibility for the things that have worked, but I'll take responsibility for the things that have failed. That's what we've tried to do, that's why we've tried to do them. I recognise here you're in a different situation, different place. And we can chat about what that means. Does anybody have any questions about any of that? Anything I've not explained well, or anything that you know actually?
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How big is the region? And did you get people from a nice cross section of the whole region?
Can I chat about that after the break? That's a great question. Yeah. Is that okay? Perfect.
When you were getting together and encouraging one another, what sort of things that you need to kind of encourage churches where they were looking to start?
That's a great question. What things did we do? I think the main...
What can we learn from you?
Yeah. I think the main thing we tried to say to church leaders was be generous. With you, if you have an employed youth and children's minister, be generous with them. And therefore, if that means going and looking at another church that's trying to start, then free them up to give the time to do that. Not all ministers, sadly, have been generous and have held their employed workers quite tightly. But that's what we've tried to do. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
On an individual church-by-church level? Yeah, I think that's been the key thing, really. Freeing up those we employ to kind of go and give advice and help and things like that. And partly, I think that's where the Saturday training day was really helpful. Because unlike our teenagers, a lot of our volunteer leaders are quite happy to chat to people they don't know from another church. And that often established links between churches who would kind of go, oh, so what are you doing? How, you know, what are you doing about that? How are you doing that? Which I think was quite helpful. And sometimes we'd flag that up front and say, spend a bit of time chatting. You know, if you're in this area or in this situation, so are the other people around you. Have a little chat. Ask about that. And sometimes that would be quite helpful for them. Is that all right? Hi.
Mrs. Starkey Griffin was talking about a kind of inter-church event that you run pre-university.
It's connected to the North West Partnership, but I think they run it with Festive and wanted. Do they not run it with Festive? I can't remember. Yeah, so sorry, yes.
So I suppose I was going to ask, are there other things there for that are going along?
I mean, so there is that, they do a kind of going off to university kind of day for our kind of sixth formers, college students, which is helpful. There are lots of things, and I think one of the things with our lunches particularly we've tried to encourage is that kind of informal partnership. So sometimes we don't know what's going on. A couple of churches may have got together and run a little youth session together, because that's just come out organically from the lunches, if you like. It's like, oh, you're nearby, and you know, it would be good to do a kind of training session for our leaders, or to do a little youth event, or to do a, you know, whatever it might be. So there's, and I think that's been one of the struggles, which I'll maybe talk a little bit about in the next bit, of how tightly do we hold the reins of, because it's a gospel partnership, and therefore we kind of want to, if it's going to be under gospel partnership banner, we want to have a level of quality and doctrinal kind of reliability about it, and yet at the same time you want to allow things to organically grow as and when there's need. So that's one of the real tensions, I think, which I'll mention. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay. Well, do grab me a coffee. Shall we break, and then how long have we got?
Coffee for 20 minutes or so. Come back. We'll have plenty more time for questions later. I was looking to say, one of the key things about partnership is that informal, you've come together in more ways to kind of strengthen relationships and start thinking about what might be, so this is a job, that's a job, it's a festival.
Peace.